Today's daf is Psachim Daf Lamed Gimel, and we have 21 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis Tanu Rabbana. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza, Avadia Ben Miriam Leah, Manuela Bas Chana, David Ben Chava, and Asher Zelig Ben Rachel Leah. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Yosef David Ben Shmuel HaKoyen, and Le'ilu Nishmas Avram Ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim Ramoshe Chaim. So today's daf is really part two of a two daf series that began yesterday, and that is where the laws of chametz meet the laws of truma. Yesterday's daf discussed somebody that on Pesach ate chametz that was also truma. The Mishnah said that if he did it b'shoigeg, he has to pay the tashlumei mamon of truma. If he did it b'mezid, he would be potter from playing the tashlumei mamon of truma. The Gemara had a whole discussion what the difference is between shoigeg, between mezid. The Gemara brought one braisa, machlokes Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yechon ben Uri, another braisa, machlokes Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Elazar chisma. But that was all yesterday's daf. What we need for today's daf, just to segue into the daf, is that we saw yesterday that the halachos of someone that eats truma b'mezit is different than the halachos of someone that eats truma b'shagik. If somebody eats truma b'mezit, number one, he's chayev misa b'dei shamayim. Number two, he has to make the koyein or the koyhanim whole for whatever it is that he ate, whatever it is he damaged. If somebody eats truma b'shagik, the halach is he's obviously not chayev misa. He has to make the koyein or the koyhanim whole for what it is he ate. In addition to that, he has to tack on a chaymish, which means not 20%, but rather 25%. A chazal chaymish, which is a chaymish milavar. Not just that, we saw in yesterday's daf, that the chaymish that's paid and the keren that's paid has to be in the form of something on which it could be chal kedushas trumas. So you can't pay with cash. You can't pay with something that is mufka from having inherent kedushas truma. It would have to be tfuah or something of that nature, something on which kedushas truma could be chal. Number two, we saw that when somebody eats truma b'shoigig and he pays the keren and the chaymish and he pays it using the currency on which it could be chal kedushas truma, that kedushas truma is actually chal. Either way, that's the kitzer shulchan aruch of the halachos of somebody eats truma b'mezin and somebody that eats truma b'shoigig. The very last Gemara that we saw yesterday was a braisa that mentioned a machloikis between the Tanakama and Abishal, which is going to be the topic of the first part of today's daf. Just to read the first two lines of the braisa. Tanu Rabbanan, ha'oichol kizayis truma. If somebody eats a kizayis of truma, mishalim keren b'chaymish. It's only then that you pay a keren b'chaymish. Now, from the fact that the braisa is discussing keren and chaymish, that's a clue. That is a dead giveaway that we're talking about someone that ate truma b'shoigig, because only when you eat truma b'shoigig do you have to pay keren v'chaymish. So again, the Tana Kam and the Braisa says if somebody eats a kizayis of truma, then he pays keren v'chaymish. Clearly implying if you would eat less than a kizayis, you wouldn't have to pay the keren v'chaymish. Abishol said actually yehe b'shal v'pruta. He had a different criteria. The criteria is not kizayis or not kizayis, but rather we look at the value of what it is this person ate. If it's worth a pruta, then you'd have to pay the keren b'chaymish. If it's not worth a pruta, you wouldn't have to pay a keren b'chaymish. And then Bryson went on to explain, my time at the Tanakama, my time at the Abishol. But at first glance, it would seem to be a very basic, fundamental machloikis between Tanakama and Abishol as it relates to how much truma would a person have to eat b'shoigig in order for him to have to pay the keren and the chaymish. According to the Tanakama, we look at the size of the food. Did you eat a kizayis? Yechayev. If you ate less than a kizayis, you're not going to be chayev. Like all shiuri achila, or like roiv shiuri achila, which are the kizayis. According to Abishol, we don't look at the size of the food, but rather we look at the value of the food. If the food is worth a pruta, then you would have to pay the keren b'chaymish. If the food is worth less than a pruta, then you would not have to pay the keren b'chaymish. On that note, zok the Gemara, another brisa. Tanu rabban, no eichel truma. If somebody eats truma pachas mikizayis, less than a kizayis, mishalim is a keren, he pays keren. Ve'ene mishalim is a chaymish, he doesn't have to pay the chaymish. Again, we're talking about someone that ate truma b'shoyi. How do we know? Because the Bryce is discussing Karen and Chaimish. Only someone that eats Truma B'shoigig has to pay Karen B'chaimish. Stating that, the Braisa says, if somebody would eat less than a kezayis, you'd have to pay the keren, that for sure, but you would not have to pay the chaymer. Zakhti mar hechidam, eat less than a shavar pruta. Are we talking about with the person ate less than a shavar pruta? Keren nami loy l'shalim. Then the person shouldn't even be obligated to pay keren. If somebody damages somebody else, and the value of the damage is less than a pruta, so it's not considered damage. The halacha is, you would have no responsibility. So why do you have to pay keren? You're paying keren, ostensibly, because on some level, you're a mazik. You cause damage. If the damage was less than a shava pruta, then there's no reason that you should be obligated to pay. The edis pay shava pruta, and in the event that there was a shava pruta, chaymish nami l'shalem, so shouldn't you have to pay a chaymish as well? Why is it that the Braisa says that if somebody eats truma less than a kezayis, the halach is your mishalim es hakerem, the ain mishalim es hachaymish, if it's talking about where you ate a shava pruta's worth, so you should have to pay the chaymish. Zakhti gemar lo'olam, this pay shava pruta. It's talking about where you ate a shava pruta. Vafilu hachi. However, kivan the less pay kezayis, being that there's no kezayis, mishalim es hakerem, the ain mishalim es hachaymish. In other words, what the Braisa is saying is that there's a t'nai in chaymish, that the only time someone that eats truma b'shoigig has to pay the chaymish is if he ate a kezayis. If he ate less than a kezayis, you would not have to pay the chaymish. Now, at first glance, if we stop here, and based on the information that we have from the opening minutes of the daf, we assess this braisa, what would we say? We have a braisa that says very clearly that if somebody eats bishoygeg, truma, it was worth a pruta what he ate. However, it was pachis mikazayas. You pay keren, you don't pay chaymish. That is the shita of the Tanakama of the previous braisa. And the previous braisa, what we saw at the end of yesterday's daf, what we chazen in the beginning of today's daf, was a machloikis abashon the chachamim. The Tanakhama, the chachamim said, if somebody eats a kezayis, you pay keren v'chaymish. If you eat less than a kezayis, you don't pay keren v'chaymish. Abishol argued, Abishol said, but al kaponim is the sheet of the Tanakhama, that the only time you pay keren v'chaymish is if you ate a kezayis. So at first glance, this second braisa that doesn't mention a Tanakhama, it doesn't mention Abishol, it's a stam braisa. It would seem to be very much shitas ha-Tanakhama. Zok to Gemara, Amru, Rabbanu kemedi Rapapa. The Rabbanu was standing in front of Rapapa, and they told Rapapa exactly what we just said. Adolik Abishol, this braisa is not like Abishol. Like Abishol, because if the time of the price is Abishol, Amr Kivin Shiyesh B'Shavar Puta, Avak Avta Les B'Kizayis, Abishol said that there's a criteria in order to be chayiv for eating truma b'shoygi, the value of the truma that you ate would have to be a Shavar Puta. He didn't say anything about a kizayis. Who said that the shir has to be a kizayis? That was the shir of the Tanakhama. Right, there were two conflicting shir. According to Tanakhama, the shir is kizayis, a shir in size. According to Abishol, it's a monetary shir, it's a value shir. It's a shir in Shavar Puta. See, if you have a price that says it has to be a kizayis, we don't care about the Shavar Pruta. So obviously, who must the Tana be? It must be the Tanakhama. Or, in other words, it's the Lake Kabashol. So this is exactly what the Oilam, the Yungalite, they went to Rapapa, and this is what they told him. Amalu Rapapa. So Rapapa told him, I disagree. Afilu tema Abishol. Could be this price, so really is going according to Abishol. Why? Abishol tartabai. Because when Abishol said that the only time you pay Keren v'chaymish, when you eat Truma b'shoigig, is if you eat a Shavar Pruta, he wasn't coming to say if you eat a Shavar Pruta as opposed to a kezayis. What he was coming to say was, is if you eat a Shavar Pruta in addition to kezayis. Abishol was never arguing with the Tanakhama that there's a t'nai, that the only time you chayiv is if you eat a kezayis. You're not going to be a chaymish if you don't eat a kezayis. What he was saying was is that there's an additional criteria. Whereas the Tanakhama said, all we care about is kezayis. Abishol said, start sveita tonight. Number one, kezayis. Number two, it would have to be a Shavar Pruta. But the point is both the Tanakhama and Abishol both agree that the only time if someone eats truma b'shoigig, you would have to pay keren and a chaymish is if you ate a kezayis. The Tanakhama said the only tanai is kezayis. Abishol said there are two tanayim. Number one, shava pruta. Number two, kezayis. But although they're arguing with regards to the tanai of shava pruta, they're in agreement that there's a shir of kezayis. So if there's a shir of kezayis, and now you have a braisa that says that if it was pachas b'kezayis, there's no keren v'chaymish. There's no reason this braisa has to be the Tanakhama any more than it has to be Abishol. But is that true? Does Abishol really hold that there's two conditions? Meaning, not only does it have to be a Shavar Pruta in order for you to be Chayv Keren B'Chaymish, but it has to be a Kezayis as well. But Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, so Abishol said, Eshiyach B'Shavar Pruta Chayv Hashuman. Eshiyim B'Shavar Pruta in Chayv Hashuman. Abishol again was discussing the laws of someone that eats Truma B'Shaykh. And he said that if the value of the Truma that was eaten is a Shavar Pruta, you have to pay. If it was less than a Shavar Pruta, you don't have to. Amr Loi, so The Chachamim told Abishol, "Lo yamru shavar pruta elu le'inyan mi'ila b'vay." It's true there's a shear of shavar pruta with regards to something very similar, and that is the laws of mi'ila. Why is mi'ila similar to truma? Because mi'ila involves having hana, eating hektish, which is similar to truma, but it's not the same thing. Truma is truma, and hektish is hektish. Very similar, but at the same time, not exactly the same. When it comes to mi'ila, the halacha is the only time a person is chayiv, chiyuvei mi'ila, is if he had hana from hektish, and the value of the hana that he had was a shavar pruta. So this is what the Chachamim told Abishol. It's true, there is a shear called shavar pruta. And it's true, it's with regards to halacha that's very similar to the halacha that we're discussing. But it's not the same halacha. We're discussing someone that's eating truma. Where you find shavar pruta with regards to me'ila, which is someone that eats hektish. Aval truma in echayiv ad sheyehei b'kizayis. But the Chum continued, and the Chum told Abishol, as it relates to truma, there's no shear of shavar pruta. Rather, ein echayiv, and you have to be medayik the words of the Chachamim. Ad sheyehei b'kizayis. You won't be chayiv unless there's a kizayis. Says the Gemara of him, Isa, if it's true that Abishol agrees that the shear has to be a kizayis, and all Abishol was saying to the Chachamim was, in addition to the shear kizayis, there's a second shear, there's also a shear shavar pruta, that means Abishol agrees it has to be a kizayis, right? So why did the Chachamim tell Abishol, when it comes to truma, ein chayiv ad sheyehei b'kizayis, you're not chayiv unless there's a kizayis. Abishol agrees you're not chayiv unless there's a kizayis. Abishol just has another criteria. He says you have to check off two boxes. It's not enough that you check off the box that it's a kizayis. You also have to check off the box that it was a shavar pruta. Meaning, ve'im isa, if it's true that Abishol agrees, he acknowledges that there's a shear kizayis, he just held that there's another shear, then kivan sheyesh by kizayis mi boyle. Now, what the Chacham should have told Abishol was, Abishol, when it comes to mi'ila, there's a tonight called shavar pruta. But when it comes to truma, you don't need shavar pruta. Rather, kivan sheyesh by kizayis, as long as there's a kizayis, which we both agree there has to be, that in and of itself would be enough. And the fact that that's not what the Chacham said, they didn't say kivan sheyesh by kizayis, which would imply Abishol agrees it has to be a kizayis. Rather, they said ein chayiv ad sheyehei by kizayis. Abishol, no, there better be a kizayis. As if to say Abishol holds it doesn't have to be a kizayis. It sounds like Abishol holds all you need is shavar pruta. Chachamim are saying that's true with regards to me'ila. But when it comes to truma, ein chayiv ad sheyehei by kizayis, so that's a raya lechura that Abishol holds the shear is shavar pruta, the shear is not kizayis. Zok the gemara tiyufta. So again, we began today's daf really with the last Gemara we saw in yesterday's daf, and that's machlokes Tanakam and Abishol. If somebody eats truma b'shoigig, the halacha is he has to pay keren. In addition to that, he has to pay chaimish, and you have all the interesting halachas that come along with the keren and chaimish of someone that eats truma b'shoigig. There was machlokes Tanakam and Abishol whether or not that's always the case, or whether there's a limitation to this halacha. Tanakama said there's a limitation. The only time this halacha is true is if you eat a kizayis of truma. If you eat pachas of kizayis, it doesn't matter how much this pachas mi kizayis is worth. It could be worth $100. But if you didn't eat a shir kizayis, just like to be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah, you have to eat kizayis. Just like for the lav of nevela and treifa, the shir is kizayis, for inchim anyways. So too, as it relates to the halachas of keren v'chaymish, regarding someone that ate truma b'shaygig, there's a condition, it has to be kizayis. Abishol said, not kizayis, but shavar pruta. And we have a discussion now amongst the Amoraim. What did Abishol mean? Did Abishol mean there's no sheer kizayis, all there is a sheer shavar pruta? Or Abishol acknowledges that there's a sheer kizayis, but in addition to the sheer kizayis, there's a second sheer. There's not one prerequisite that needs to be met. There are two prerequisites. You don't have to check off one box, you have to check off two boxes. Number one, it has to be kizayis, it's a shear in size. I agree to you, Chachamim. In addition to that, it would also have to be a shavar pruta. The pashtos in the Gemara, and the way we read the braisa when we read it, was Abishol's arguing and saying there's no shear kizayis. All there is a shear shavar pruta. Stating that, Rapapa told the Rabbanon that it's not true. Abishol tartiboy. Abishol holds you need both. Abishol holds that there's a shear of kizayis. Abishol also holds that there's a shear of shavar pruta. Up until this point, where we are is that the Gemara asked a kasha on Rapapa from a braisa, and the Gemara said tiufta, which is the Gemara's way of saying checkmate. Zok the Gemara that the afraf papa hoder, even though Rapapa said initially that Abishol agrees to the Chachamim that there's a shir kizayis, it's just that he was moisif. In addition to the shir kizayis, there's also a shir shavar pruta. However, as we're about to prove, Rapapa himself was Chayzer, Rapop himself had Charata. Now the Gemara is going to bring a Braisa that discusses the halachos of Mi'ila, The Gemara is going to have a detailed discussion of this braisa. So it's going to take us through the majority of Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. And in the course of the Gemara's discussion of this braisa, there's going to be one line which is going to prove what the Gemara's objective is. So this is almost an Amud-long digression, Me'inyan le'inyan ba'isa inyan, and really what we're getting at is one piece. And that is, we're going to prove that Rapop himself was Chayzer. And even though Rapop initially said that according to Abishal, there's two criteria, Kizayis and Shavapruta, he came around. He said, really, all you need is Shavapruta. According to Abishal, it doesn't have to be Kizayis. Okti Gemara, if after Rapop, Rapop himself was Chayzer. How do we know that Tanya we learned to the Bryce? The Pasuk says, with regards to Mi'ila, V'chata Bishkaga. If somebody sins B'shoigig, the halacha is, he has to bring an Asham Mi'ilois. And we learn from there, Prat Lemezit, that this teaches me that only someone that's moil in hektish b'shoigig has to bring a carbon me'ilo. However, someone that's moil b'mezid would not have to bring the carbon. So again, what is me'ilo? We've been touching on the laws of me'ilo a lot during the last few dafin. A moil b'hektish is someone that has hana from hektish. Hektish is off limits. It's kaddish. It's not something that a person's allowed to use for any mundane purposes. If somebody goes and he has hana from hektish, assuming he caused hektish a hefsid mamon, there's a whole bunch of criteria that have to be met. But assuming you're able to meet all that criteria, that lach is your mayo behektish. Hektish is unique, similar to truma, and that is, in a certain way, there's a chumra if someone's mayo behektish b'shoigeg versus if someone's mayo behektish b'mezeg. If someone's mayo behektish b'shoigeg, in addition to all the monetary payments and the kapara that he needs, he has to bring a carbon. The carbon that he brings is a carbon asham. It's what's known as an asham ni'ilos. So if someone is mayil behektish, he had anah from hektish, b'shoigeg, he has to bring a carbon. The carbon that he has to bring is a carbon asham. Someone's mayil behektish, b'mezid, he does not bring the carbon. How do we know that? That's this braisa. V'chata b'shkogo, the pasuk says, if somebody sins b'shoigeg, meaning he accidentally benefited from hektish, he has to bring an asham ni'ilos. Problem is it, so this is dafka, someone that did a b'shoigeg, as opposed to someone that did it b'mezid. Freit gemar v'aloi dinu. Why do I need a pasuk for this? Can't I know this? I need a pasuk to tell me that if somebody does mi'ilah b'mezid, he doesn't bring a carbon. Umashar mitzvah shechayev ben karis poitim behenes amezid madach mitzvahs or averas for which someone is chayev karis. So, for example, if somebody eats dam or chaylev, nalach is he's chayev karis. When he does the aver b'shoigeg. If he would do the aver b'mezid, he wouldn't be chayiv to bring a carbon. Mi'ilo she'en b'karis, mi'ilo which has no karis, enoy din she'patar es ha'mezid. So certainly the halacha should be that if somebody is mayo b'hektish b'mezid, he shouldn't have to bring a carbon. Meaning, if somebody does an aver b'shoigeg, that had he done b'mezid, he would have been chayiv karis, he has to bring a carbon chatas. When? Again, do you bring a carbon chatas? When you do an aver, she's doing a karis, but only if you do a b'shoigeg. If somebody would do an aver b'mezid, she chayovin al zdoine karis, of course you wouldn't bring a carbon chatas. So you see, when it comes to an aver that's a chayve krisos, which is a very chomer aver, the halach is you have to bring a carbon chatas, but only if you do the aver b'shoigeg. If you do the aver b'mezid, then you don't bring a carbon chatas. Time is the Gemara, madach a chayve krisos, which is so chomer, b'mezid, you don't bring a carbon. So certainly mi'ila, which is less chomer. How do I know Mi'ila is less chomer? Because for Mi'ila b'mezid, there's no karis. So certainly, for Mi'ila b'mezid, there shouldn't be a carbon either. It's a kal v'chomer. If for a chayvi krisus b'mezid, you don't bring a carbon, then for a Mi'ila b'mezid, you shouldn't bring a carbon either. Why? Because chayvi krisus is more chomer than Mi'ila. I could flip it. I could tell you that maybe Mi'ila is more chomer than chayvi krisus. Why? Because chayvi krisus, there's no misa. What do you mean there's no misa? Of course there is. Karis is a chiv misa. What the Gemara means is it's not misa bidei shamayim. Toimar b'me'ila shechayiv b'misa. So certainly when it comes to me'ila, where there is a misa bidei shamayim, so maybe over there it's going to be different. No, the Gemara is saying, you're assuming that it's pashit, that if someone's mayel behektish b'mezid, he shouldn't have to bring a carbon. Kav v'chayimri from chayvi krisis. Mayel b'chayvi krisis b'mezid, you don't bring a carbon. Certainly me'ila b'mezid, you don't bring a carbon. So the Gemara, why are you assuming that chayvi krisis is more chamer than me'ila? Maybe me'ila is more chamer than chayvi krisis. How could it possibly be more chamer? Because Mi'ila is Misa B'dei Shamayim, and Karis is not Misa B'dei Shamayim. Talmud Loimer, for that reason, we need a pasuk that says Bishkaga Prat Lemezid. That's what we need a pasuk. So just to pause for 1 second. So it's interesting. The Gemara assumed initially that Chayvi Krisus is more chamer than Mi'ila. And the Gemara said, no, maybe Mi'ila is really more chamer than Chayvi Krisus. Why do we assume Chayvi Krisus is more chamer than Mi'ila? karis. Mila doesn't have karis. No, so maybe Mila's more chami. You know why? Mila has misa b'dei shamai. Karis is not misa b'dei shamai. So the first thing we have to know is what's the difference between karis and misa b'dei shamai. So the truth is, we've talked about this in the past. We have a related raid bite. Krisus daf beis, the hakdama to mesachtes krisus, Metz Hashem in the new app. But we have a related raid bite as it relates to the differences between karis and misa b'dei shamai. But the Gemara seems to have a shakla v'tayr. First the Gemara assumes karis is more chama than misa b'dei shamai, and then the Gemara says, you know what, maybe not. Maybe really misa b'dei shamai is more chama than karis. Now the truth is, if you go through the sugya, karis is more chama than misa b'dei shamai. And the Rishonim struggle very much to understand what this hamamin of the Gemara even is, that maybe Mila is more chamer than, or Misa B'dei Shemayim is more chamer than Karis. But either way, this was the Gemara. The Gemara asked, why do you need a pasuk to tell me that if somebody does Mi'ila B'mezid, you don't have to bring a carbon? Don't I know a Kal V'chaimer from Chayvi Krisus? Chayvi Krisus B'mezid, don't bring a carbon. Certainly Mi'ila B'mezid shouldn't bring a carbon. The Gemara says, no, maybe Mila is more chamer than Chayvi Krisus. Why? Because it's Misa B'dei Shemayim. He heard this price, and he told it to him like, he said like this, I don't understand how you read this price. He was bothered by the flip-flopping of the Braisa. First, the Braisa thought that Karis is more chama than Misa v'dei Shamayim. Then they want to say, you know something? Maybe not. Maybe Misa v'dei Shamayim is more chama than Karis. It's a little interesting. So Reb Chia bar Rabin told Reb Nachum bar Yitzchak, you're right. I think we have to edit this Bryce a little bit. He told him, Hachi come. This is what the Bryce meant to say. Like, Mamre B'shar Mitzvahs. You know what the Kalva Chaimer was? Shekein Bloi Chayiv Bahen Misa B'pachos Mikazayis. Toima B'me'ilo Shechayiv B'misa B'pachos Mikazayis. The Shach of the Bryce was as follows. Again, the Bryce is discussing if somebody does Mila B'mezid, should you bring a garment? Pasik that says you don't bring a garment. What do you need a Pasik for? Kalva Chaimer. Mamre Chayiv Krisus B'mezid, you don't bring a garment. Certainly B'ilo. The way we had the Giris and the Braisa was, the Gemara said, no, maybe Mila's more Chamer because of Misa B'dei Shemayim. The Gemara said, no, forget about that. Forget, we had that fleeting Havamina, we mentioned the Rishonim don't understand it. They just didn't understand the fleeting Havamina. But Lefio MS, forget about that. It's not the right Giris and the Braisa. Braisa never, make believe we never said that. Okay, so what is the Braisa saying? Why do I need a Pasuk to tell me, Mi'ila B'mezid doesn't bring a carbon? Why can't I know what Kal V'chaimer Mikaris? Because the different reason that I would think that Mila's maybe more Chamer than Karis. You know why? Because all the Chayvei Krisos have a shear that you would have to eat at least the kazayas. A kazayas of dam, a kazayas of chaylev, a kazayas of chametz on Pesach. There's always a shear of a kazayas, as opposed to me'ila, where you chayev even pachas mikazayas. It means that me'ila, you chayev even pachas mikazayas, that's the chumra. So it means that as a chumra pachas mikazayas, I would have thought that even b'mezid you bring a carbon, that's why I need a pasuk to tell me that b'mezid really you don't bring a carbon. For amale, so the Gemara says, so Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Torah b'chi b'rabin, tonuach daitcha she'inachtes daiti. I give you a bracha, you should be benched. Why? Because thank you, I appreciate it. I didn't understand this braisa. You helped me understand this braisa. I don't understand why you understand this. You understand this braisa? Really? What I just told you makes sense? The Rabbi of Rav Sheshes took an axe and they whacked it. Right? It's a little reminiscent of Kam Rabbi Veshachte the Rav Zera. But either way, Rabbi of Rav Sheshes Shadu Beinargo, they knocked out this halacha. How so? What was the kasha? They said, I understand the kasha. Man Shamalei the Amai Hezid. Who's the man that holds that if somebody does Mila b'mezid, he's chayef Misa? Rebbe, it's Rebbe. Tanya will into the Braisa. Heze b'mila. Rebbe yomer b'misa. V'chacham yomer b'azar. It's really a machlekes tanon if somebody does Mi'ila b'mezid, whether he's chayef Misa or he's not chayef Misa. The one that says you're chayef Misa is Rebbe. Okay, my time of the Rebbe. What's the makar to Rebbe? Amar Rebbe Vo. Rebbe Vo said, Gamra chet mitruma. He learned to kalva exere shavar from truma. It says the word chet by truma, it says the word chet, or at least the sheirish chet by me'ilo, and just like by truma, if somebody eats truma b'mezid, it's chay misa b'dei shamayim, so too, if somebody's mayo b'mezid, he's going to be chay misa b'dei shamayim as well. Not truma b'misa, af mila b'misa. Okay, so what was Rabba and Rav Sheshes' kasha? So he said, umina, if that's the case, if the mandamar that holds, that if someone does mila b'mezid, it's chay misa, is Rebbe, and his source is a gzeirish shava from truma, once you have Gzeirah Shavah, you have to run with this Gzeirah Shavah, right? You can't pick and choose what you learn from Gzeirah Shavah. So umina, you have to learn another halacha. Not truma b'kizayis, af mila b'kizayis. Just like truma is b'kizayis, so too, mila should have to be b'kizayis. In other words, how could you tell me that the reason we need a pasuk to tell me that if someone does mila b'mezid, he doesn't bring a carbon, because you would have thought you can't learn it from chayvi krisos, because mila is more chomer than chayvi krisos. How so? Because mila yichayv even pachas mikazayas as opposed to chavi krisos, it has to be a kazayas. This braisa clearly holds that by mila there's a misa b'dei shamayim. If the braisa holds that there's a mila, that there's a misa b'dei shamayim, means he holds it gzeira shava from truma. And if by truma there's a shir kazayas, then by mila it's also a shir kazayas. So it's not true that mila is pachas mikazayas. Really, there is a shir kazayas. How do I know there's a shir kazayas? Because if I learned gzeira shava to teach me that there's misa b'dei shamayim, chet chet mi truma, then from truma I would have to know that there's a shir kazayas. So maska for a papa. So a papa asked the kasha. This is the one line we need. So a papa asked the kasha. Remind the Rebbe. How do you know Rebbe holds like the Rabbanan? You're assuming that Rebbe holds that by truma there's a shir kizayis. Don't look at Abishol sfirulei. Maybe he holds like Abishol. Don't make Yeshua of a bruta. Avak after lesba kizayis. Maybe he holds like Abishol that holds there's no shir kizayis. We just went through this whole long-winded elaborate cheshbon to say that there's no way the right gears in our price is that Mila's maybe more chama than chayvi kizayis because Mila doesn't need a kizayis. How do I know that? Because it's clear that the time of the price holds that Mila has misa b'dei shamai. If you don't misa b'dei shamai, Mila holds you the gezeira shava of chet chet mi truma. And by truma there's kizayis. So a papa heard this and a papa said, that's a kasha. Then why is that a kasha? Maybe it was like Abishol, who holds this no kizayis straight to Gemara. Rapapa said that? Rapapa said that maybe Rebbe holds like Abishol that holds his no shir kizayis. For Rapapa Udama, Rapapa was the one that said, the Abishol tarti boy. That everybody holds his a shir kizayis. Abishol's chiddush was there's another shir. It also has to be a shava bruta. But really, everyone holds that there's a shir kizayis. Elishmami no hadave, so the Gemara says, this was long winded, must be Rapapa was chayzer, and Rapapa holds that even according to Abishol, all there is a shir shava bruta. However, there's no shir kizayis. But the Gemara is going to do now what it often does. We mentioned the braisa, just to make a point, but once we mention the Braisa, we have to figure out the Braisa. So again, returning to the Braisa is discussing the laws of Mi'ila. Mi'inyan le'inyan ba'is'inyan. We're going from Truma to Mi'ila. What's the halacha of Mi'ila? If someone does Mi'ila b'shogeg, you bring a carbon. Mi'ila b'mezi, you don't bring a carbon. How do I know that? I know from a pasuk. The pasuk says, b'chata b'shkaga, prat l'mezi. I need a pasuk for kal v'chaymer, madachai v'krisas b'mezi, doesn't bring a carbon. Chatas, certainly Mi'ila b'mezi shouldn't bring a carbon. Asham. Mar says, no, Mi'ila has a chumra. What's the chumra? So we took two cracks at it so far, and both are not clear. Number one, maybe Mi'ila is more chumra than krisas, because maybe Misa b'dei shamayim is more chumra than Karis. That's an interesting one that we need to store away for a later date. But that was the first Havamina. Maybe that's what the Braise is saying. The second one was, maybe Mila's more chamer because Mila Yechayiv even pachas mi kizayis. As opposed to all the Chayiv Yekrisos, at the very least you would have to eat a kizayis. The Gemara is going to bring two not additional pshatim as to why maybe Mila's more chamer. Hence you can learn Mila Kavachamir from Chayiv Yekrisos, and that's why you need a pasuk to tell me that if someone's Mayo b'mezid, he doesn't bring a car. Marbi, the Rabbana Omar, Hachi Kamer. Lo yamamir b'shar mitzvah, shloi osa b'mish in mischamim kim mischamim. By other mitzvahs, even though the halach is that if you do the aver b'shoigig, you need a kapara, but if you do it shloi b'mischavim, you don't need a kapara. So what's an example of shloi b'mischavim? Shin mischavim lachtichas atosh. Let's say on Shabbos, somebody wanted to cut something that was detached from the ground. That's not one of the lamitas malachas. Reaping is one of the lamitas malachas, koitzer, or toilish. But that's only if you're toilish, you koitzer something that's mechobel karka. But if you're toilish, you koitzer something that's not mechobel karka, or from there you're not going to have the halacha. So what would be if somebody wanted to cut something that was toilish, the chotach hasam mechober, and instead of cutting something that was toilish, he ended up cutting something that was attached to the ground. Meaning he ended up being mechal Shabbos. So it sounds like he's a mechal Shabbos b'shoigig, right? He didn't really want to be Mechal Shabbos. He thought he was cutting something that was Talish. He ended up cutting something that was Mechober. Sounds like Chil Shabbos B'shoigig. The halacha is a potter. He's potter even from Chatas. He's not considered a Mechal Shabbos B'shoigig. What's the reason for it? He's what's known as a Mesaseg. A B'shoigig is where, at the very least, I know what I'm doing. I'm cutting something attached to the ground. I just don't know what Shabbos today, or I don't know it's us to cut something that's attached to the ground. Over here, what I thought I was doing, I didn't even do. I thought I was cutting something that was tallish. I ended up cutting something that was mechuber. Now this is halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. Toimer b'me'ilo, but me'ilo is different. Shem neschavim l'schamim b'gizei chulin. If somebody would have a mind to warm himself with the wool, the shearings of chulin, v'neschamim b'gizei oila, and instead he ended up warming himself with the shearings of an oila shamal. He would be a mile. He just had enough from Hekdesh. He was a misase because he thought he was using gizei chulin. He ended up using gizei oila, but at the same time he's going to be chayev. In other words, misaseik b'me'ilos chayev. Whereas Bashar Chayvi Krisus Masasik is Potter. So that's the Chumr that the Braisa was discussing. Maybe Mila is different. Maybe it's more Chumr. Maybe that's why I need a Pasuk to tell me that if you do Mila B'mezid, you're going to be Potter. Nachem by Yitzchak Amar, he said something very similar. Hachi Kamar, lo yamam Bashar Mitzvois, Shkein lo Mischayev Ben, She'en Masasik and Masasik. Again, very similar to the first Teretz. In fact, Ayin Rashi and the Rishonim, what the difference is, but again, Ayin Shon. So Nachem by Yitzchak said, this is the difference. Shar Mitzvois, there's no Allah of Masasik. And what was Rav Nachman by Yitzchak's example of a mezasik? If somebody would have a mind to lift something that was detached, he ended up ripping something out of the ground. Shapater. Why? Even though he was Mechal Shabbos, but he didn't even have a mind to do what he did. If somebody would stick his hand into a keli to take a chefetz, and by mistake he would put his hand into a bucket of oil, that was hektish shemal, he would be considered a milo. So again, you see that a mesasik b'me'ilo is chayef, as opposed to b'shar, chay v'krisos, he's potter. Hence, there would have been a havamina, that maybe milo is more chamer than chay v'krisos, where would it be manifest as chumra? Maybe a mile, even b'meza would have to bring a carbon, in contrast to all the chay v'krisos that don't bring carbonas b'meza, only bring carbonas b'shoigig, kamashmon, that's why you have a pasik, v'nefesh, of v'chata b'shkaga. And we learn from there, Prat Lemezid, and this concludes the first part of today's daf. Amarma. So going back to something that the Gemara discussed in yesterday's daf. So in yesterday's daf, the Gemara brought two brises that discussed the halacha of the Mishnah, and that is if somebody eats chametz, that's truma on Pesach. What's the halacha? One of the lines that the brisa brought, parenthetically, was, b'medvar mamurin, this whole shaila about eating Trumas chametz on Pesach, it's only negeh b'mafresh truma v'chmitza. If somebody was first mafresh truma, and then the truma became chametz on Pesach, aval hifresh chametz truma, but if somebody would be mafresh truma from chametz, divrei hakol ein kedusha. Everybody would agree, it's not chal kedusha. Meaning, how could truma be chametz? Right? The whole sugya of yesterday's daf that flows into today's daf was discussing truma that's chametz. How do you have truma that's chametz? Says the Braisa. You know you have truma that's chametz? You had truma, and then the truma became chametz. However, if you would have on Pesach chametz, and you would be mafresh truma from the chametz, the halacha is, it would not be chal truma. The question is, why? That's the next part of the daf. It's learned out from a pasuk. The pasuk says, titein loy, reishis degoncha, tiroishcha v'yitzarecha, v'reishis geiz tzoncha, we learn from there, when you mafresh truma, the truma has to be truma that you can give to the kohen. But if the din of this truma is given, you have to burn it. It's chametz and it's pesach, then it's not even chal truma. How could that be? The halach is, you're not allowed to be mafresh peiros that are tame on behalf of peiros that are tar. Im tar, but if you did, b'shoigig, my mistake, truma, say truma. It's okay, if I'm lema, leiva, leila, uroi. If there's a halach of leila, leila, uroi, you can't be mafresh truma. If this truma is going to have to be burned, then how could you ever be mafresh truma tame? What do you do with truma tame? You burn it. So how are you allowed to be mafresh truma tame? You're going to end up burning it. What happened to leiva, leila, uroi, like kasha, hasam, hoysa, leisha, sakosher, hacha, loy, hoysa, leisha, sakosher. It's different. The case of the person being mafresh Minatmeya ala tahira, where we say that b'diyevet it's okay, it's talking about where what was tame was once tar. He had peiros that were tar, and then a sheretz fell on it. It became tame. But it had a shas hakosher. At one point it was tar. Being that at one point it was tar, that's why it's not excluded from loy v'loy l'uray. We're discussing in our sugya where it never had a shas hakosher, where this truma was chametz, literally, from the get-go, says the Gemara. What's the case? While it was still attached to the ground, before it was even shayach to the laws of truma, right? Until you cut it from the ground, there's no truma to even talk about. So before it was cut, it already became chametz. So whatever the mitzius is, but while it was attached to the ground, it became chametz. That must be the case, and because of that, it never had a shas hakosher, that's why it's excluded from loy v'loy v'lo'ure, says the Gemara. So if that's the case, what comes out? Aval achmetz betalish achinami dekash. When the Braisa said b'medvar mamurim b'mafresh truma v'chmitza aval hifresh chametz truma d'vei hakol in the kedusha, it means where you were mafresh truma from chametz while it was attached to the ground. But had it been detached from the ground, then it would have been chal kedusha. And the Gemara says that he told it to him as if it sounds strange. Really, that's the halacha. This whole Braisa is talking about such a far fetched case when it's attached to the ground. Amalei, so he told him back in. And he quoted a pasuk in Daniel. The pasuk says, "Bigzeiras irim piskama umemar kadishin she'elsa." What exactly does this mean? So Rashi says, "The irim are the malachim. Malachim are called irim because they don't sleep. Right? A malach is always awake. A malach never sleeps. So because he never sleeps, he's always air. He's always awake. K'loimar, what is he trying to say? What do you want from this pasuk? Talmidei chachamim shehem k'malachei ashores amri bebeis medrash k'moisi. The talmidei chachamim beis medrash, they all say like me. V'chei mayrim bebei medrash kavasi. Yeah, even though you don't like this akinta, to you it seems a little bit dachuk, but I'm telling you that's the pshat. So what's the first teretz as to, or the first makar, how do you know that if you mafresh truma from chametz on Pesach, talochis, it's not chal any kedushas truma, it's learned from a pasuk, reishis, degoncha, tiroishcha, v'yitzarecha, v'reishis geis, tzoyimcha, titein loy, loy, it has to be something you can give to the kohen, v'loy lo'uroy, not something that's going to end up in the fight. That's what I'm going to bring to Rabbi Yeshua, Amar, he learned a different pasuk. Amar, the pasuk says, reishis, again, the same pasuk, reishis, degoncha, and we learn from this, reishis, sheshiyareh, nikarim li'yisrael, yatzis, azush, ein shiyareh, nikarim. The Torah says that if you have tfua, the reishis, give to the kohen, the rest of it, the Yisrael's allowed to eat. In this case, the Yisrael's not allowed to eat the rest of it because it's chametz. So being that it's chametz, so he can't eat it. So it's excluded from a pasuk in the parish of Truma, and that's how you know that there's no Truma chal on chametz on Pesach. So again, we have two makaris. Either it's learned out from loy, something that the kohen could benefit from, for loy l'uri, not something he's going to have to put into the fire, or it's learned out from reishis, which suggests that the balance is something that the Yisrael, the mafrish, would be able to benefit from, and if it's chametz, it's not something he's going to be able to benefit from. The third and the final part of the daf. Zokti Yom Yosef, Rav Acha Bar Avyo, Kamed Rav Chisda. Rav Acha Bar Avyo was sitting in front of Rav Chisda. V'yosef Amar Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan, and he said over Halacha in the name of his great Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav Acha Bar Avyo, just to picture the scene, was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. And he had the audience of the great Rav Chisda. So he's sitting in front of Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda says, let me hear something from your grace, Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan. He says, I'm going to tell you something my Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan said. He said the following, Anovim Shenitmu, if you have grapes that are tome, darkon, you can press them, pachais, pachais mikabeya, as long as the grape is less than the size of an egg, v'yeinam kashal l'nesachin, and you'll be able to use the wine even for the nesachin. Now, just as an aside, this is talking about way after Churban Bayis Sheni, right? This is already a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan having a conversation with Rav Chisda. So why are they even talking about using wine l'nesachin? It's not pashut, it was just a way of saying and making a point in a dramatic form, this wine is perfectly tar. But we spoke about this earlier in the Masechta, in the sugya of Rav Chanina, Skanakayanim, the Gemara in Nida, Daf Vavam Ibeis, where the Gemara says that there were people that used to keep their oil and their wine betahira so tar that you'd be able to use it in a sach. They would steer it away. Maybe it'll be a beis hamikdash, and maybe we'll be able to use it. But anyway, this was what Rav Acha Bar Avyo said. I heard from Rabbi Yochanan. If you have grapes that are tame, you can press the grapes, and as long as it's less than a beya, the wine is going to be kashal in a sach. Now let's analyze the salacha for a second. Number one, the grapes not tame. If the grapes are tame, shouldn't the wine be tame? The juice that comes out of the grape, shouldn't that be tame as well? It's part of the fruit. If the fruit is tame, you would think that the juice should be tame as well. That's the first tare. The second thing is, what is the sheer beya? Right? If it's less than a beya, it's all good. If it's going to be more than a beya, then you're already going to have a problem. So, as it relates to the first question, the Gemara is going to address that. The second question, what's the methodology to the sheer beya? So it is based on the idea that tumas oichlin is always bekebeya. How big does oichl have to be? In order for it to convey tumah, it has to be a beya. That's a shir. Just like there's a shir kezayis and there's a shir shavapruta, like we saw in today's daf, there's also something called kebeya. And the shir beya is nogeya tumas oichlin. So if the grapes are the size of a beya, then they're going to convey tumah to the wine that's going to come out of it. If, however, it's pachas mi kebeya, so it's pachas from the shir that it has the ability to transmit tumah, as a result, the wine is going to be okay. So the Gemara says, Alma. So Rav Acha Bar Avyo again told this to Rav Chisda in the name of his Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara, Alma Kosova, you know what you see from this? Mashkin mifka pkidi. You see from here that mashkin that are inside a food are not considered to be part of the food. They're just like stored inside the food, but they're not really considered part of the food. But it must come at tamis. If that's the case, when the fruit became tame, the mashkin didn't become tame. When then does the mashkin become tame? L'chisachetlu, when you squeeze it. L'chisachetlu, less than l'shiure. If you have less than a beya, so it's going to be pachas mikashir, so the fruit's not going to have the ability to be tame the mashkin. That's why it's not going to be a problem. That was the basis of this halacha. If that's the case, kebeya nami. So why did he limit it to a pachas mikabeya, even if it would be an exact beya? Why? The time went to the Mishnah. Tomei Meis, Shachas Eisa Van Oven Kebeya, Michu Venes. If you had someone that was Tomei Meis and he was squeezing olives or grapes, that was the size of a perfect Beya, the halach is Tahirim. They're going to be tar. Why are they going to be tar? The reason is because as soon as you squeeze a little bit of juice out, it's going to inevitably be less than a Beya. So once it's less than a bay, it doesn't have the ability to be metam anymore. So why does it have to be less than a bay? Even a bay should be enough. The Gemara says, you're right, that's true. Hasam, that Mishnah, where it would seem that even if it's an exact bay, still the halacha is going to be true, is the Ovat. That's b'di'evet. Hacha, Rabbi Yochanan was talking about l'katchila, and l'katchila he only allowed it if it was less than a bay. Why? Even if it's a perfect bay. He was worried, zera d'ma'asim l'mevet yoysim k'beya. If I'm going to allow a bay, maybe you can end up doing even where it's more than a bay, and it's going to end up being a problem. But the bottom line is, Rav Acha bar Avya told Rav Chizda, this is the halacha I heard from Rabbi Yochanan. What was the halacha? You have grapes that are tamei, less than a beya, you could squeeze them. The wine is so kosher, it's not tamei. You could even put the wine on, literally use it as nesachim on the mizbeach. What's the inference from this halacha? The halacha is a very technical halacha. What do you see from this halacha? That mashkin is mifkat kiti. We don't look at mashkin as being part of the fruit. We look at the mashkin as being stored away in the fruit. Amalei Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda told Rav Acha bar Avya, man sayis lochud Rabbi Yochanan Rabba. Who's going to listen? Nobody should listen to you or to your Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan. Why? What kind of halacha is this? Of course the mashkin is tamei. How are you using the mashkin for the nesachim? If the fruit is tamei, then the mashkin should be tamei. Amal kasavas. What do you see? Rav Chizda held mashkin mivlabli. That the mashkin are not considered as separate entity from the fruit, just stored inside the fruit, but rather they're considered to be balua inside the fruit. It means that the fruit itself became tami itmulei mashkin. So the mashkin inevitably is going to be tamalei. So Rav Acha bar Avya told Rav Chizda v'atloy tizber the mashkin mifka p'kidi. How could you disagree with Dalach Rabbi Yochanan? We just quoted a second ago. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that v'atanan tami meishas tochas eizavanovim mechuvenes kebeya toirin. Right, you see that a tamei mace that squeezes eisim v'anovim, even if it's the size of a bay, not less than a bay, even if it's the size of a bay, it's going to be tahar. Yeah, Rabbi Bishlam, if the mashkin's not considered part of the fruit, so even though the tamei mace was matam of the fruit when he squeezed it, but the mashkin didn't become tamei, Mishamachi tahirin, that's why he's tahar. Eli, yeah, I'm Mivlabli, but if you're going to tell me that it's part of the fruit, I might tahirin. Amalez, he told him back. Meaning that Mishnah that the Gemara brought initially to ask as a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, in the Gemara's discussion between the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Chizda, the Gemara is actually bringing it as a right, Rabbi Yochanan. It was a kasha Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said it had to be less than a kezayis, as opposed to a perfect kezayis. Right? The Gemara was said that Rabbi Yochanan was tripping up on a technicality, but from a high level, the Mishnah very much supports Rabbi Yochanan's halacha, because you see this idea that just because a mashka is inside a fruit doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be tami. Either way, Omalesi told him, Rav Chizda said, I'll tape shine in that Mishnah. You want to know why the mashkin in that Mishka is not tami? Because we're talking about grapes that, although they were just came in contact with a tami mace, Tommy Mace is squeezing them, but they were never hukshal lekabel tumah. We know food needs to be hukshal lekabel tumah. Le'imas miskashri. When are they becoming hukshal lekabel tumah? Lechisachetlo. When the Tommy Mace squeezes them. Kisachetlo. As soon as he squeezes them, batzulu mishura. You can end up having less than a beya. That's why it's not going to be Tommy. So the reason the mashkin over there is not Tommy is not because it's not part of it. Really, it's part of the fruit. And by the way, had the fruit been Tommy, it would have been Tommy. The reason it's not Tommy is because it was never hukshal lekabel tumah. When did it become hukshal lekabel tumah? When you squeeze the fruit. What happened when you squeeze the fruit? The fruit became wet. Now the Tommy Mace has the ability to be metamid. At that point, it was pachas migabeya. I mean that at that point, it's pachas. It's for that reason you're not going to have an issue. And then Rav Chizda said, I'll prove to you that I'm right. And this is why we're discussing the Tilei Teima Hachi, how the Tanya we learned in a braisa. So again, yesterday's daf, Halamaze Doime, Lutrumas Tutim, Vanovim, Shenitma, Shein Loi Baloi Heter Achilo, Valoi Heter Azok. The Gemara said that if somebody would damage or somebody would eat Trumas Tutin and Anovim that are Tomei, the halachas would be Potomen Atashlumen. Why? Because there's nothing to do with it. Truma Tmei, you're not allowed to eat. And if it's Tutin Vanovim, you can't burn it either, because it's not, it can't really be used as fuel. As a result, it has no practical value. So therefore, that loch is going to be potty. You're not going to be chayiv as a mazik. That we saw in yesterday's daf. What's the kasha? Why are you assuming that the chumas tutim v'anovim have no value? They have a value. You know what you could do? You could eat them. What are you going to eat? How are you going to eat? That tummy? No. The pachas pachas. You can take less than a beya. You can squeeze it, and then you can take the juice, and then you can eat the juice, and you have something from it. So Rav Chizda, what do you see from here? Oh, there's no such halacha. This whole halacha from Yochanan is not a real halacha. Avad givist. Once the fruit is tummy, the mashkin also have to be tummy. Oh, my Rav said, Rav Chizda, you have no right now, Rav Yochanan, because gzeira duma asabul de karakala. Maybe the chum didn't want you to be able to eat the juice or drink the juice, because they were afraid that you may end up eating the fruit. To eat the fruit, you certainly can't do. So they made a gzera, don't squeeze the fruit and drink the juice, because you may end up eating the fruit. Is that actually you worried about takala? Vatanya, what do you do with chumat meya? You're allowed to burn it. Can't eat it, but you can burn it. Madlikim bepas ubeshemet shel truma shenitmas. Why are you allowed to use it as fuel? Why isn't there exer? You may eat it. Amalei say told him, no, it's different. Pas zarikle bein ha'etzim. Pas, the halach is you have to throw it between the wood. Meaning you have to do something with the pas that's going to make it impractical for you to eat it. Shemen shel truma rameli beklim mas. And even shemen shel truma, you have to first put it in a disgusting keli and then pour the oil into the fire. And a chanam, you have to do something to it that's going to make it in a way where you're not going to want to eat it, but otherwise there is a chash of ta'akala. So we're going to pick up on this note again in tomorrow's daf, so we'll recap it and do it tomorrow. But today's daf was really made up of three disparate parts. Hatzad HaShov HaShabahem is, it was all related to yesterday's daf. That's the Tzad HaShov. But really, three completely unrelated halachas. The first is if somebody eats truma b'shoigeh, he has to pay a keren v'chaimish. Stating that, not always. What's the Tanoim? Tanakama says you have to eat a kezayis. Abishol said you have to eat a shava pruta. A discussion in the Gemara, Rapapa and the Rabbanon, Rapapa was chayzer, whether Abishol agrees it has to be a kezayis, he was just mice of a second criteria, it also has to be worth a shava pruta, or Abishol was giving only one condition, it has to be a shava pruta, he doesn't care about kezayis. Second thing that was discussed in today's daf was, if someone would be mafresh truma from chametz, it wouldn't be chal truma. It's a very big halacha. It would not be chal truma on chametz. Why not? The Gemara said, "Mino animili two makaris. One makar was kitein loy v'loy v'uray. It's only chal truma on something that you can give to the kohen and that the kohen can eat. If the kohen's going to have to throw it into the fire, then you're not going to have this halacha. Why is it different than truma? Tmei, the Gemara addressed that. The second makar was it says reishis in the parsha of truma b'shvil reishis." Nivra ha'oila, right, one of the ratios are the ratios of truma. Ratios, the gancha, tiroishcha, v'yitzarecha, the ratios, geitzoincha. Ratios implies that I have to give the ratios to the kohen, but the balance of it, whatever's left, then I'm allowed to benefit from myself. If it's chametz, I'm not going to be able to benefit from it. The third part of the daf discussed, if you have a fruit, and the fruit has juice inside of it, every fruit does, zeisim, anovim, tutim, whatever it is the fruit juice considered part of the fruit or not? L'may nafkemina, the primary nafkemina that we discussed was toma. If the fruit becomes tome, does that mean the juice is tome? Meaning, if I would squeeze pachas mekezayas, I can come up with a patent of how I would maybe somehow do it where the fruit doesn't have the ability to be matama the mashka. Do we say the mashka would be tar? Or do we say, being that it's part of the fruit, it's going to be tame? The shaila was, do we look at mashkin as if it's mifkad pekidi? Or do we look at mashkin as if it's mivla beli? And that's going to segue into tomorrow's daf, exhale. So I was thinking that being that the raid, Baruch Hashem, has been intense the last few days, so maybe to do something a little bit lighter, and that is what was light on today's daf. So three lines from the bottom of daf Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph, the Gemara quoted a pasuk in Daniel. The Gemara had a discussion with regards to, doesn't get much lighter than that. The Gemara had a discussion with regards to, how do you know that you can't be mafresh truma from chametz? And the Gemara said that the makar is Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. It says in the Torah, titein loy, v'loy l'uroy. And the Gemara said, Mosiv Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua. So Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua asked Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak a kasha, and Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak gave him a teretz, and he didn't like the teretz. And Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak told Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua, I hear you don't like the question, but here it goes. B'gzeiras irim piskoma u'meimar kadishin she'elso. Okay, what does that mean? The Talmidei Chachamim, the Malachim, are all in agreement with me. And if the Malachim all hold like I hold, then you can't argue with the Malachim. And the Chayim Meirim Bei Midrasha Kavasi, Mepaskin Tazoyim Beis Medrash, and therefore he said, even though in Tzvar you have a nice kasha, I hear, but at the end of the day, I know I'm right, because all the Malachim say like me. So again, who are the Malachim? Rashi says, Kolaymer Talmidei Chachamim, Shehem Kemalachi Asharis. The Talmidim Chachamim are like Malachi Asharis. So where do you find that Talmidei Chachamim are like Malachi Asharis? So the truth is, it's a Mefurish Gemara. It's a Gemara Mesechtes Nedarim Daf Chaf. The exact context is not important, but the Gemara over there says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Dahavoy, Dalit Dvarim Socholi Malachi Asharis. There were four things that I heard from the Malachi Asharis. And the Gemara has a whole discussion about what those four things were. And at the very end, says the Gemara, Daf Chaf Amid this, Amar Ameimar Man Malachi Asharis. Who were the Malachi Asharis that Rabbi Yochanan ben Dahavoy was quoting on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. He said those Malachi Asharis were the Rabbanon. These weren't real Malachim, they're the Rabbanon. The Itema Malachi Asharis Mamish, because if he meant Malachi Asharis Mamish, v'chulu v'chulu, must be, said Amemar, they weren't real Malachi Asharis, they were the Rabbanon. Afraid to Gemara, so if they were really Rabbanon, why do you call them Malach? They weren't Malach, they were people, they were Rabbanon. So the Gemara says, the Mitzayni ka Malachi Asharis, because the Talmidei Chachamim are Mitzayni ka Malachi Asharis. So what does that mean? Says the Ran. In the Dorim, Shehen Mitsuyonim Vinivdolim Mishar Bnei Yodam Ki Malachi Asharis. Just like Malachi Asharis are separate. They're not like humans, obviously. They're Malachim. They're not human beings. Talmidei Chachamim are the same way. Kedamrinam Behagadah. As we say in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, Melamed Shehoyu Yisrael Mitsuyonim Shom. Kloimar, Shehoyu Am Bifnei Atzmon V'loi Nesarvu B'Mitzrayim. That the Yidden were an Am Bifnei Atzmon. They didn't get mixed up together with the Mitzrim, and being that they themselves didn't get mixed up together with the Mitzrim, so therefore, they were referred to as Mitsuyonim. Either way, Talmid HaChachamim are Mitzayim K'Malachi Asharis, and that's why Yoichem and Uvay referred to the Rabbanim as Malachim. He was meant to Rabbanim, mean the Malachi Asharis. But my Karlu Malachi Asharis, the Mitzayim K'Malachi Asharis. Rashi in Mesechtes Nedarim, or the Mefarish, not really Rashi, has a different girsa. His girsa wasn't the Mitzayni Kemalachi Asharis. Rashi's girsa was the Mitzaytzi Kemalachi Asharis. And Rashi says two words, She'atufim Betzitzes. That Talmidei Chachamim, they're wrapped in tzitzes the way Malachim are wrapped in tzitzes. What do Malachim have to do with tzitzes? So that's a raid bite that we did somewhere in Mesechtes Menaches. It's a related daf. I don't remember which one. Ayin Shom, Bezus Hashem. But the point is that this is the makar to this idea, that you find that Talmidei Chachamim are referred to as Malachi Asharis. It's a Gemara Mesechtes Nedarim, Daf Chaf. It's in Gemara Mesechtes Psochim, Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. What's the Pshat? Two Girsas in the Gemara. The Mitzayni ka Malachi Asharis, Mitzuyonim, the Muvdolim Misharam, like the Malachi Asharis are, or the Talmidei Chachamim, Mitzaytzi ka Malachi Asharis. They wear tzitzis in the same way that the Malachi Asharis wear tzitzis. But the truth is, we've mentioned many times in the Daf, Yisoid, that the Chasam Sofer quotes throughout his Sfarim, in the name of his Rebbe, Dahafla. And the truth is that this Yisoid finds itself in the Sfarim of Dahafla as well. Dahafla wrote about it in his Akdama to his Afla, in the Akdama to the Makna. He wrote in the Panim Yafis and Parshas Vayera, in the Panim Yafis and Parshas Hazinu. It's a Yisoid that Dahafla talked a lot about. His grace of Talmud, the Chasam Sofer, certainly talked a lot about. And really, once you internalize this Yisoid, and you look out for it, you'll realize that it underpins so much of the Torah of the Chasam Sofer that it makes you wonder how important and fundamental it was to understanding who the Chasam Sofer was. And really, in order to appreciate this Yisoid, we have to refamiliarize ourselves with a Gemara Masechtes Chagiga, Gemara that we all know, Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara says that Rameyer's Rebbe was Elisha Bar Avuah, also known as Acher. And because of a Maisa Shahoya Kachoya, Arba Nichlasu Lepardis, Elisha Bar Avuah, he stopped keeping Torah mitzvahs. But despite the fact that he stopped keeping Torah mitzvahs, Rameir continued to learn Torah from him. And the Gemara says, Rameir, Heichi Gomer Torah Mipumad Acher. How was Rameir able to learn Torah from Acher? The Amr Rabbi Bar Barachan, Amr Rabbi Yoichan. I think so. What's Pshat in the Pasuk that says, Ki Sifse Koyen Yishmerudas, Ve Torah Yevakish Mipiu, Ki Malach Hashem Tzvakos. The Navi Malachi said this. A person's supposed to learn Torah from his Rebbe. Why? Ki Malach Hashem Tzvakos. So said Rabbi Yochanan, im doima harav malach Hashem tzvakos. If your Rebbe is like a malach Hashem tzvakos, you vakish toyer mipiu. You should learn Torah from him. Then lavin, if he's not like a malach Hashem tzvakos, al yivakish toyer mipiu. Then you shouldn't want to learn any Torah. It's afraid to Gemara. I understand. How was Rabbi Meir later learn Torah from Acher? Acher wasn't a malach Hashem tzvakos. He was a mechal Shabbos. The Gemara says that he solicited a zayna. He clearly wasn't a malach Hashem tzvakos. So if he wasn't a malach Hashem tzvakos, what does it mean? A rav doima the malach Hashem tzvakos yivakish toyer mipiu. Yivakish toyer mipiu. If that's the case, how was Rabbi Meir learn Torah from Acher? So the Gemara says that Rameyer did it because Rameyer made a hayrah shah for himself. Rameyer felt that he would be able to take the good from his Rebbe Acher. He'd be able to leave behind the bad from his Rebbe Acher. And that's why Rameyer went ahead and did it. But this was a hayrah shah for Rameyer. Really, the halach is that im harav doima l'malach Hashem tzvakos yivakshu Torah mipiyu. V'im lav al yivakshu Torah mipiyu. So said the Hafla, what does this mean? If your Rebbe is like a malach, then yivakshu Torah mipiyu. So he said, it means as follows. It means a person is an oil of a yair, right? Every person is always steiging or he's regressing. Either you're moving forward or you're moving backwards. We're in a constant state of motion. It's impossible for a person to stand still. Right? You meet someone and then you don't meet him for 5 years. 5 years later, either he steigt or he went backwards. It's one or the other. He's not going to be the same person because people, by definition, are hoichem. That's who we are. We're hoichem. We're always traveling. We're going up or we're going down. A malach is an oymed. A malach is programmed. A malach is created with a certain tafkid. He has no bechira. He has no free will. He can't do an avera, which is going to cause him to fall. He can't do a mitzvah, overcome an asoy, and then do tshuva, which is going to cause him to steig and to grow. A malach is an oymed. Said the panim hafla that there are certain rabbeim that their mindset when they teach their talmidim is that, you know, they want to steig themselves. Everybody wants to steig. Who doesn't want to steig? He says, then there are rabbeim that give themselves up 100% for their talmidim. That I'm not about myself. My whole metzias is 100% going to be for my talmidim. So said the hafla, imarav doim ala malach Hashem tzvakos. If your rebbe is like a malach, your rebbe is willing to be an oymed, if your rebbe doesn't care about his own aliyah, he doesn't care about his own steiging, but rather your Rebbe is willing to put himself out there 100% for his chevra. He cares about his talmidim steiging, not about his own personal aliyah. Yavakish Torah appear. That's the type of Rebbe you should learn Torah from. The in love, and if he's worried about his own steiging, al yavakish Torah appear. This is what the Afla wrote in his Akdama to the Afla, in his Akdama to the Makna, several times in Panim Yafis, and this is something that's dispersed throughout the Sfarma, the Chassam Sofer, and the Ksav Sofer, and the Shevet Sofer, and the Das Sofer, and the Torah for Rabbi Yosef Nechemide. Oh, this was a Messiah of art in the Chan Sofer Mishpacha, and that is Marav Doim El Malach Hashem Tzvakiz Yivakish Toim Repiyu, means that a person has to be willing, a Rebbe does, to give himself up 100% from his Talmidim, and if he's willing to be like a Malach, that's an Oim, he doesn't care about Shtagging, then Yivakish Toim Repiyu, then you should learn Torah. V'mlav Al Yivakish Toim Repiyu. I think it adds just a little knetch, a little extra Havana and understanding of what it means that Talmidei Chachamim are like Malachi Asharis, or what it means that a Rav is supposed to be like a Malach Hashem Tzvakiz, that there's this idea that a Talmud Chacham, certainly someone that teaches Torah, if he gives himself up, he doesn't care about his own aliyah. All he cares about is to make sure that he's doing the best possible job as it relates to teaching Torah to his Talmidim. That's the type of Rebbe where Yavakish Torah Mipiyo. Me inyan le inyan, ba'oise inyan. Reb Itzel Petterberger, Reb Yitzchak Blasman, was a Talmud Muvik of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and he's most famous for his contribution to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's Musar movement. But the Lamdim know that Reb Itzel Petterberger was also one of the biggest Lamdonim of his generation, and he's the author of the Shairos HaTshuvos Pri Yitzchak. And his Akdama to Pri Yitzchak, he starts off with a kasha. He asks a stira between two Gemaras. The Gemara says in Masechtas Nedarim, Daf Nun Hei Amid Beis. Zok the Gemara, Nun Hei Amid Aleph. The Maidach Siv, what's Pshat in the Pasuk that says, Umi Midbar Matana, Umi Matana Nachliel, Umi Nachliel Bamas. Says the Gemara. Kiven Sha'isa Adam Es Atzmi Ki Midbar. The Pasuk is saying it as follows. If a person makes himself like a Midbar, Shehu Mufker Lakoil, meaning he makes himself Hefker to everybody, HaTorah Nitna Loi B'Matana. The Torah is going to be given to him B'Matana. Shenemar, Umi Midbar, if you're like a Midbar Matana, the Torah is going to be given to you like B'Matana. Kiven Sha'isa Loi B'Matana, when a person gets Torah B'Matana, Noch Loi Keah. Hashem gives him the Torah B'Yerusha. He inherits it. He internalizes it. Becomes part of who he is. Shenemar, umi matana, once it's a matana, nachliel. Now you have a Yerusha. V'kimin shenach lekel, when Hashem gives you Torah as a Yerusha, oylo l'gdula, yishtaik. Shenemar, umi nachliel bamois. V'imik bi'atzmoi, but if it gets to your head, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpiloi. That's the end of the story. Shenemar, umi bamois, agai. Either way, it's a Gemara in Masechtas Sedarim, Daf Nun Hey. It's also a Gemara in Masechtas Erevin, Daf Nun Dalet. But this is the Gemara. Umi Midbar Matana, Umi Matana Nachli, Umi Nachli Obamais, Kiven Sha'isa Adam Es Atzmei Ki Midbar Shum Mufkel HaKoyev, Had Torah Nitna Loi B'Matana. So Reb Itzel, a Petterberger, in his Akdama to Pri Yitzchak, this is the opening remarks to Pri Yitzchak. So he asked a stira from another Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Reb Zeir V'Tem Reb Chanir Bar Papa. Borei, Shaloi Kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Basav Adam, Midas Basav Adam, Adam Meicher Chavis HaKadosh. If a person sells an item to his friend, Meicher Atzid, the Meicher is ungesetzt, and a person that bought it is happy. Right? We're assuming this person sold it simply because he had to raise a few dollars. So he's not happy about the fact that he sold it. He would have preferred to have it, but, you know, he needed money. And as a result, he was forced into it. When it comes to Hashem, he's not that way. Nasalem Torah Yisrael, the Ebrister gave the Torah to the Yidim and Sameach, he was happy about it. Shenemar, Ki Lekach Toiv Nasati Lochem, Teirasi al tazoiv. I gave you a lekach toiv. I sold something good. Keep it. Right? Usually when somebody sells something to his friend, he does it begrudgingly. So if he does it begrudgingly, he's not going to tell him, ki lekach toiv nosati lechem teirasi al tazoiv. He's waiting for him to maybe have the money to be able to buy it back. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not that way. Nosal and Torah Yisrael v'someach. So Reb Itzel asked the following question. He said, from the Gemara in the Dorim Daf Nun Hei, which is also Gemara in Erev and Daf Nun Dalid, it sounds like when Hashem gives a person Torah, he gives it b'matana. Umi midbar matana, umi matana nachliya. Kimen sha'isa adam es atzmei kim midbar shum vufkel ha'kol, Torah nitna lei b'matana. So when a Yid learns Torah, and now he acquires Torah, what's the nature of that transaction? Right, if you had to document it as an attorney, what's the definition of this transaction, where Torah goes from Shemayim to the person? It's a matana, it's a gemara. Umi midbar, matana. The geder, the nature of the transaction is a matana. But the gemara Masechtas Brachos says not that way. The gemara says, b'yir reish alaykim midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas Masav Adam. Midas Masav Adam, adam moicher chefetz l'chaveir moicher rotzim. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, he's a moicher. But he's fine. Shenema ki lekach toim nosati lochem teirasi al tazim. So it sounds like when a person acquires Torah, he's a lekeach, and Hashem is a meicher. It's a sale. So which one is it? Is it a matana or is it a sale? This was Reb Itzel's kashna. I have a gemara that says umi midbar matana. It sounds like when Hashem gives Torah, he gives it b'matana. I have another gemara that says ki lekach toim nosati lochem. Hashem is a meicher, but he's not atzev. It sounds like it's a sale. And by the way, they're fundamentally different. Right, what's the difference? A matana is something you get for free. There's no consideration. You don't give anything for a matana. A gift is by definition free. A sale you have to pay for. You have to pay for it, dollar for dollar. So what is it? Do you have to pay? You have to buy Torah? Or do you receive Torah b'matana? So Reb Itzel Kedarka, he said a Musa Teres. I mean, this is the Musa in the beginning of Priyas, then it gets very intense. So said Reb Itzel a Musa Teres. You have to say it's Dot Zvei Dinan. You have to say that sometimes the Eibusha gives Torah, b'matana, and sometimes you have to acquire Torah. He says, ordinarily you have to acquire Torah. You want to learn? You got you matzasi tamen. Lo you got you matzasi al tamen. Don't believe me, the guy's lying. You have to. You want Torah, you're going to have to put the effort into it. However, there is a concept. There is a concept where Hashem gives Torah b'matana. When? Umi midbar matana. Kiven sha'isa adam as atzmai kim midbar shehu mufker la'koil, Torah nitna lei b'matana. When a person makes himself like a midbar, he makes himself hefker, then the Torah is given to the matana. So Reb Itzel said, yeah, ordinarily it's a mecher, but there is an idea where sometimes you can get Torah b'matana, but there's a t'nai for that. The t'nai for that is umi midbar. You have to make yourself hefker. So what does it mean to make yourself hefker? So Reb Itzel said, hefker means you have to be an anav. You have to be bedarke yo anav. If you're humble, like the midbar, that's the way you are. Oh, Hashem loves humble people. And Hashem's going to give you Torah b'matana. This is a classic musav art for Reb Itzel Petterberger in his Hakdama to the Pri Yitzchak. But I found in the Chsam Sofer, on that Gemara, Mesechtes Nedarim, Daf Nun Hei, he asks the Kasha, sort of, and he says a different Teretz. Says the Chsam Sofer, you know what the Chilik is? Ordinarily, Hashem gives Torah as a mecher. Meaning you want Torah, pay for it. No problem, you have cash, you can get it. Yeah, you have to make sure you're able to buy it. How do you buy Torah? You got to your matzasi. You shtai, you harava, you put in the time. Eventually, you got to your matzasi tam. And that's the way it works. But there's an idea, said the Chsam Sofer, where a person can get Torah b'matana. You know when that is? If he makes himself hefker. What does it mean if he makes himself hefker? Not like Reb Itzel said, you make yourself humble. You make yourself hefker, it's not about me. It's all yours, hefker. You want Torah avada. Where the Torah is about you, then you're going to have to put in the time. It's going to go dollar for dollar. However, if you make yourself hefker, said the Chsam Sofer, the mashin nitile b'matana pirish al yedei atalmidim shu loy meidi mohem. When a person teaches Torah, umafkir atzmai kim midbar al yedei zeh zoicha lohoven ulahasig yoysim yikoyach sichloy. And he says, that's what you find there were people that put themselves out there for the tzibur, and they were able to shtag on a different level. The reason was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to them b'matana. And that's why, because it doesn't work. If it was dollar for dollar, you didn't have enough equity in their accounts to be able to clear that type of check. But the reason it worked is because they got it in matana. You know when you get it in matana? Umi midbar. Because when a person makes himself hefka like a midbar, when a person puts himself out there, so then the sky's the limit. Then you're able to get even yoyser be yoyser than what the person was really supposed to be able to get. And the truth is, this is the same Chassam Sofer that we spoke about in the Siyam HaMasechtas Erevin. And this is the same Chassam Sofer that we spoke about in Erevin Dav Dalit. It's all the same shtickle, that when a person puts himself out there for other people, whether it's someone that teaches Torah, that's what the Chassam Sofer is talking about, or it's someone that does chesed, it doesn't matter what it is. When you're about yourself, when you live for you, then you're limited. Then your Torah, everything you acquire is dollar for dollar. It goes with a cheshbon. But when a person is mimidbar, you make yourself hefker, you put yourself out, it's not about me. You're an oisik b'tzar chetzibur b'amuna, right? Doesn't mean you're necessarily taking care of all the world's biggest problems. But any person in his own little life, when you put yourself out there for other people, that's a bechin of halach ma'anya kol dichvin yesev yechol kol ditzrich yesev yifsach. Right? Now all of a sudden your dining room just expanded. All of a sudden now you have the time, you have the ability, you have the bandwidth to do things that really you shouldn't have been able to. What's the secret? The secret is umi midbar matana. When a person makes himself like a midbar, it's not about me. You mafkir yourself 100%. Then it's going to be a matana. But then the Chassam Sofer says something else. He says, what is the end of the Gemara Masechta Sedarim? The Gemara says, Umi midbar matana, umi matana nachlia. Umi midbar matana, kiven sha isa adam es atzvik midbar, shu mufkila kol, teren itin leib matana. Umi matana nachlia, kiven sha nitin leib matana nachlika. Once the Ebeshah gives you to the matana, then you're going to remember it also. Says the Chassam Sofer, when a person buys Torah, he may forget it. When you're given Torah b'matana, then you don't have to worry about forgetting it. Because when Hashem gives you the Torah b'matana, then nachlil, it comes with a promise, it comes with a haftacha, that this is something that you're always going to have. When you buy something, yeah, I don't know, maybe you'll have it, maybe you're going to lose it. If Hashem gives you a gift, that's a whole nother deal. What's the makar to that? I'm going to tell you what I think is the makar. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, it's Perek Yud Pasuk Chavez, we're going to end with this. So the pasuk says, Birchas Hashem hi ta'asher, when Hashem gives bracha, it brings ashirus. Birchas Hashem hi ta'asher. You don't have to worry that the ashirus is going to bring ta'atzvos. Right? Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, this is what he said. Now, when a person has bracha, you become a groyser gvir. Hashem makes someone a gvir. Don't worry, being a gvir is not going to make you ungesetzt. Says the Vilna Gaon in his Pirish and Mishlei, he says, why would you think that because the person now suddenly has all this money, it's going to be Moshe Vetzav? Of course not. If he became an Oishev, why would you think that it would be Moshe Vetzav? He said, because the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Marbe Nechasim, Marbe Daigus. Sometimes a person has more, he has Daigus. Birchas Hashem Mita'ashad is a special haftacha for the Loyoyse Vetzavim. You don't have to worry about it. That over here, it's never going to bring Lide Daigus. There's not going to be any Marbe Nechasim, Marbe Daigus. But I was thinking maybe to say a different shot. In Birchas Kainim, we say, Yevarechacha Hashem, v'yishmerecha. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Zok Rashi, yivarechacha, what does that mean? She yizborchu nechasecha. It's the bracha of Ashiros. V'yishmerecha, shelo yavoyu alecha shoydid en litam amoyncha. You don't have to be worried that maybe somebody's going to come and take away your money. Shanoise matana la'avda. If somebody gives a matana to somebody else, any yachal l'shamim kol adam, he can't protect. I can give you a matana, but I can't promise you're always going to have it. Kivin shabam listen all of a noitim l'aysim imenu ma'anoye shalom matana. Someone can always take it away, and then he's not going to have it anymore. Avala kadosh baruchu, hu anoise. Hu Hashoymer. Yivarechacha Hashem, it comes with Avtach of Yishmerecha. So I was thinking, if a person makes a lot of money, so it's great, wow, he's a big veer, of course. What happens if later he loses that money? So he doesn't go back to where he was before. He ends up being worse off than he was previously. Now he's an Oni Ben Toivim, right? Now even his Hilchas Staka changes. You have to allow him to continue to live the life that he was used to living. A person that makes money, it's beautiful. Berchas Hashem Ita'asher. But how do you know that at some point in the future, the person's not going to lose the money, and then it's going to be a gloy milso that all this Ashirus was setting him up for failure? It was setting him up to end up being Nebuch Ba'atzvus, because here he got used to living a certain lifestyle, now all of a sudden, he can't afford it anymore, and now he lost it. But when it's Berchas Hashem, when it's Yivarechacha Hashem, there's a Haftacha V'Yishmerecha. What's the Haftacha V'Yishmerecha? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hu HaNoisein Hu HaShoymer. You don't have to worry. You're never going to lose it. Oh, you're never going to lose it? V'lo Yosef Atzavima. That's the V'lo Yosef Atzavima. Shlomo HaMelech's Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Yud Pasuk HaBeis, is literally Rashi and Chumash in Parshas Nasai. When it's Berchas Hashem, when it's Yivarechecha Hashem, then it's for Yosef Etzavima. You know why? Because it comes with Avtocha V'Yishmerecha. If a person has something and he loses it, so sometimes it's not Kishmak. Sometimes you end up being worse off than you were previously. Oh, but when it's Berchas Hashem, then it's for Yosef Etzavima. You know why? Because Yivarechecha Hashem V'Yishmerecha. Who are Noise and who are Shomer? You don't have to be worried that you're going to lose it. That's what the Chasam Sofer is saying. If a person buys Torah, if a person acquires his Ruchnius, yeah, you pay for a dollar for a dollar. It's great, but you may lose it. You may lose it, but when you get it in matana, oh, who are noise and who are shomer? If it's who are noise and who are shomer, so not only do you get the matana, but umi matana nachliel. Kivon shed nosnu loy be matana nachloy kel. Now you end up getting it by Yerusha. In the Gemara brachas davem and alf, you don't have the avtocha of nachloy kel because there you paid for it. You paid for it. There's no guarantee you're going to have it. But when a person is given Torah by Hashem b'matana, or it's given b'matana, not only are you going to get things that al pi derech hateva maybe you had no business acquiring, but it even comes with a shmirah, hu anoyse and hu ashoymer. Now it falls into the category of yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, and that's why daik in the Gemara Nedarim Nunhei, in the Gemara Erev Nundalid, you have umi midbar matana, umi matana nachlil. But again, this is the yisoyth that really was part and parcel of all the teachings of the Chasam Sofer. It came from his Rebbe Dafla, in my Rav Doimel Malach Hashem Tzvokos, Yevakish Torah Mipiu, that a Rebbe's job is to put himself out there. But the flip side of that is, and this is the other side of the coin, is that the Rebbe doesn't lose. Because by putting himself out there, yeah, you make yourself into an Oymit. But the secret is just the opposite. It's Umi Midbar Matana, Umi Matana Nachlil. When a person makes himself Hefker Lakoil, then everything gets by Matana. Now he's going to get it by Matana, now it's Berchas Hashem. And when it's Berchas Hashem, it's for La Yosef Etzavima. It's Noch Leikel. Why? Because who are Noise and who are Shomer? And it's true, the Chasam Sofer clearly believed that it's true for all areas of a person's life. That any time a person is willing to put himself out there for somebody else, then his whole existence is going to start defying the laws of physics. It defies the laws of nature. You know more, you accomplish more. Somehow, it ends up being time for everything that has to be time for. Everything falls into place. What's the secret? The secret is umi midbar matana. If a person makes himself like a midbar, doesn't matter how big, how small, doesn't matter what area of life, but if in any aspect of a person's ruchnius, a person's avodas Hashem, he makes himself like a midbar, there's a guarantee of matana, and when it's a matana, it's nochle kel, it's birchas Hashem, he ta'asher, hu hanoisein, hu ha-shoymer, and therefore, it has the special haftacha of not only ashiras, but v'lo yosef etzavima.